Hello, the members of Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. This is Pastor Tony. I am trusting all is well with you, and your joy of Christ grows deeper by the day. We serve a merciful God who loves us unconditionally and with no respect of persons, whether rich or poor. All praises unto Almighty God. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosened the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In life, we face three formidable enemies as Christians. We face Satan and his demonic underlings. Satan hates God and anyone giving their allegiance to Christ. We face a world system that despises the precepts of God's word. We face our own inherited sin nature that refuses to be subject to God. Every day we are engaged in spiritual warfare. Christ died on the cross that we might taste victorious living over sin, Satan, and death. Living in Christ, we gain the victory over these enemies. The fighting never stops until we pass away into eternity. We see the global effect of spiritual warfare every day. Consider this, when we draw nigh to God, we will experience victory over sinful habits, temptations, and deliverance from the hands of evildoers. Even when we have foolishly provoked our enemies, we can call on God to help to save us. But then what? Is spiritual change taking effect in your victories? Our scripture lesson focuses on a great victory God gave to his people, Israel. God is still delivering great victories in our lifetime, no less great than those seen in the Bible. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What God expects yesterday, he does today. Our text is found in Psalm 76. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword, and the battle. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. Amen. Consider this subject for meditation, the desires of God's heart. We will discuss God's legitimate desires. The Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." In our personal relationships, we make our desires known, and so does God. What is the desire of God's heart concerning your family, your giving, your prayer life, and what you are doing with your life? What is God's desire for you after he has given you a slew of second chances to do right by him? What is our reaction when our desires are not met in our personal relationships? What do you give God when he gives you the victory over enemies who seek your doom? What should you give to God when you see the wicked paying the cost for defying God? What does God want in return for fighting your battles? Why does God act the way he does in the world and in the privacy of our hearts? God is a formidable adversary, even when God's people act ungodly. We should note man's foolishness when he steadily provokes God to anger and jealousy. In doing so, God voices anger and pours wrath in hopes of redeeming souls gone astray. God's desire never includes forcing man to yield and worship him out of terror. God wants man to be in awe of his governance in the earth. God acts so that man can acknowledge divine intervention in his daily affairs. In other words, God acts in ways to fulfill the desires of his heart. In spite of the political chaos afflicting every nation in the earth, though wickedness seems to prevail, though man expends much of his energy in aggression, scheming, and conniving, the desires of God's heart remains to be that we trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God desires that fear no longer manipulate us into making crippling decisions that disrupts our being faithful to his will. God desires we stop spending time fearing the wicked who can only kill the body. God wants us to fear him alone. It is God who owns all power. We live in a time where the fear of God is sorely lacking. Man engages in all forms of ungodliness in the face of God's revealed wrath in the earth. The fury of God's anger pours on all evildoers. God desires every man to see, observe, and know the terror of the Lord. When we see God spoiling the wicked, we should be in awe of God. When we enjoy God's benefits and fail to reverence him, then we provoke God into showing his holy anger. The Bible says God created the wicked for destruction. In our text, God unleashes holy wrath against the mighty army of Assyria. The Assyrian soldiers never made it to the battlefield because the holy wrath of God struck them down first in their sleep. There is a heavy price to pay when evildoers afflict the people of God. The great mighty army of Assyria was headed to the battlefield to literally destroy the army of Israel. Without God intervening, the army of Israel was doomed. There was no way Israel would survive. Ever since the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, God was Israel's mighty warrior. Every nation was confronted by the fury of God's wrath when they sought to destroy the people of Israel. Those mighty nations were reduced to rubble in the face of an angry God. When God is angry, he pours righteous wrath to establish the desires of his heart. When God expresses anger and holy wrath, he is speaking loudly to all mankind. God is not to be toyed with. God is holy and we are but corrupted souls. By expressing his anger and holy wrath, God desires to convince us that we should strive to live in godliness. There are three primary desires that God seeks to fulfill whenever he deals with the nations in the earth and in his relations with us individually. First, God desires that every living soul know him intimately as a child knows his or her human father. God is revealed in Scripture, and he still reveals himself today for all to know him. Your trust in God deepens as you grow in your knowledge of him. God is supreme. He desires man to confess this fact. In doing so, man can travel on the road to godliness, right into the throne room of God. By nature, man despises God, even when he sees God performing magnificent things in his life. God's desire for man to trust, worship, and serve him does not ignore the reality that man is naturally at enmity with God. Every believer has a history of hatred for God, but God, in his grace, acted to redeem you. The Holy Spirit quickened you, made you alive, though you were dead in sin. God's desire compelled him to bring the spiritually dead back to life. Why? Because it was the desires of God's heart to have a people after his own heart. It was God who gave the believer new life. In other words, God empowered sinners to exercise saving faith unto eternal life. God's desire for you takes priority over your desperate spiritual depravity. We are sinful by nature. We are inconsistent in our devotion. We violate our covenant with God. Even so, God's love for us compels him to withhold his judgment and wrath for our indiscretions. Though sin is the crux of man's dilemma, sin is no match for a loving, forgiving, gracious, and merciful God who aims to fulfill his desires. Knowing God's efforts to bring and keep you spiritually alive should be enough to increase your desire to know God. The desires of God's heart. He desires that we be aware of his rebuke. God is holy, and when His holiness is violated, He must and will rebuke us. Even so, God's rebuke never cancels His love and tenderness. While God may express anger toward us, it's only for a moment. Second, God desires every living soul to reverence Him. When the Creator is ignored in thought and deed, man finds out it is a frightful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is love, but He is also a consuming fire. God desires reverence after He soundly defeats our enemies. Israel saw God's power leveled on Pharaoh. God's power gave Israel several military victories, though she was outnumbered by the thousands. God's power commands reverence. God's enemies are painful observers to the terror of the Lord. The targets of God's wrath will testify that God is more fierce than a mother bear protecting her cubs. God is a consuming fire. It is a frightening thing to fall into the hands of the living God. No living soul stands in the midst of God's anger and lives to tell the story. The mighty Assyrian army was utterly destroyed by God. The world was stricken in silence as they saw the Assyrian army fall in defeat to the Israelites, an inferior army. The world could only conclude God's furious wrath has struck. The only viable response to an angry God is to fear Him. When God judges, the world is in awe. God's judgment serves many purposes. First, God pours judgment to save the righteous, those who place their faith, allegiance, and trust in God. God will not permit His own to perish at the hands of the wicked. Second, God pours judgment to steer the people to praise Him. Third, God pours judgment to restrain the wicked from perpetrating more evil. The wicked back off when they see God protecting His own, the desires of God's heart. He desires we daily observe His acts in the earth. Wherever we live, work, and play, God wants and keeps us safe. As God breaks the backs of our enemies, we are to remain mindful of God's holy wrath being poured out on the wicked. We too were once worthy of condemnation. Third, God desires every living soul to obey Him. God is loving, gracious, patient. God is also a jealous God that pours judgment when we stubbornly disobey and defy His commandments. Man learns of the terror of divine wrath when he constantly scorns God. What shall you render unto God for all His benefits? What do you think God wants after He restrains the enemies who sought your demise? What would you naturally desire to give back to God after He saves you? What do parents desire the most from their kids when they grow up? Parents want to see their kids grow and follow after God. Parents want to see their grandkids grow up to be God-fearing adults. Parents want to see generations growing up with desires to please God. God desires that man observe His awesome power and consider the benefits of daily abiding in His will. God shows His power so man will be awestruck and know it is better to follow after godliness rather than to be struck down by His holy terror. God desires your willingness to worship in spirit and truth, not forced reverence. Observing God deal the death blow in the camp of the wicked should compel every living soul to turn from evil to righteousness. After observing God pour wrath on the great and mighty Assyrian army, the redeeming response is to reaffirm your convictions, vows, and loyalty to God. When God has rescued us from the troubles of this world, we quickly vow to love, serve, and give to Him. Keep your vows. All the nations saw God's greatness on display when the Assyrian army was destroyed. All knew that opposing the people of Israel was to oppose and provoke the fury of God's wrath. All God did was speak judgment of death upon the valiant warriors who died in their sleep. The desires of God's heart. He desires that we come with gifts before Him, that we put aside disobedience and resolve to live holy, that we put aside evil motives and conduct ourselves with a pure heart toward all men. We are to imitate Christ, for whom God gave to give us eternal life. In conclusion, God desires we truly know Him, genuinely reverence Him, and totally obey Him. God desires all men to know the gravity of defying Him. We can avoid tasting God's wrath by turning from sin and turning to Jesus, who paid our sin debts. In doing so, we can give to God what He desires the most, our repentance and reverence. Scripture says of God, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God desires to show love, kindness, and mercy to every man and not condemnation. Long ago, God made a divine investment in Jesus so we can avoid suffering the fate of the wicked. God desires us to be willing subjects to the Holy Spirit. God will not force us to yield to His Holy Spirit against our will. In the end, when unsaved sinners face the furious wrath of God, all will acknowledge God and confess Jesus before being ushered into eternal death. God pleads with us, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." God bless you all.